Last week we looked at whether you are genuinely converted or not. We examined ourselves over our conversion. Today I want to look at what is a healthy church member. Now we're going to get back to Isaiah, but not right away. All right. This morning after the service, I've got something, or we have something we want to share with you. It's a spiritual assessment. It's something for you to take and go home and look through, and if you want to, work through it. And it's going to ask you questions about 2020, spiritual questions, and about your life in 2020, and what God is bringing you to in 2021. It's a time of evaluation for you to spend and sit and work through yourself. And I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Please pray. And it's in here. You'll read it. I want to encourage you to pray about sharing it with somebody. Share it with your spouse. Share it with a friend, a family member, a coworker, another believer. Share it. I want you to share what you worked through and things that you have, maybe rediscovered or discovered about yourself. But so I want you to use this tool, to go through and just have a spiritual assessment. All right. I'm going to put this right here so you can come get it after the service. All right. So with that in mind, we're going to continue our journey this month about taking a spiritual assessment of your life. We looked at, as I said last week, last Sunday, about your conversion. We started with that. I'm going to give you just a few points. Let's pray. Did I pray? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you that we can run to you and that we can rest in you, as that verse in Isaiah 26:3 says, that we can rest in you, Lord, and hide in you, and Lord, that we can hunker down in you. Lord, we pray, I pray that you would put forth your Spirit, that you would help us to spiritually examine our own lives, that we would stop for a moment and that we would examine where we have been and where you want to take us. That you would do a work in the body here at New Hope, in our lives, that you would stir deeply in us. Lord, that we would love you most, love you more. Lord, that we would trust you most, that we would run to you, grow, and have knowledge. Lord, we perish for a lack of knowledge. We don't know who you are. Lord, help us. Help us to know the God that we worship. Lord, only you can do that. Grant us repentance this morning. Encourage us in the areas that we need to be encouraged. Strengthen us. And Lord, if you have to use an old broken down preacher, Lord, please do that for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, marks of a healthy church member. So we're going to, there's a whole bunch of things. I could have listed 100 different things of what a good, healthy church member looks like. I took this straight out of the book by that title, by Nine Marks Ministry. So if you want to go buy the book is What is a Healthy Church Member? And I didn't use all their points, and I didn't use, all the points that I had. So I'm going to basically give you 6 points. But the first one we've already covered last week. All right. So this is the summary. We have to start And that's why we did it last week with, are you genuinely converted? You have to start there. Are you really in the faith? Are you really a believer? And so I went through two long lists last week. And if you want those lists, I made a copy for Miss Jessie because she said she wanted it. And it's chicken. I just scribbled it out. It's chicken scratch and it's hard to read, but I will make a copy if you want it, for you to go home and look at. But are you genuinely converted? That's where it's got to start. And this is the questions. Do we like light or do we like the darkness? Here's the reference. We're not going to go there. 1 John 1:6-7. Next question. Do we love the Lord? Or do we love the world? 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:20, verse 22. And 1 John 2:23. Number 3. Do we love the brethren? Do we love believers? Do we want to be around believers or do we like unbelievers? 1 John 3:14, 15, 18, 19, and 1 John 5:1. Number 4. If you have a question about this one, you can come talk to me about it. Do we have a testimony of the Spirit's abiding power? Is there a testimony of God giving you power to overcome sin in your life? To overcome when you know your heart and mind. Listen, like this week, some of you, as Rodney shared, got, I mean, just downright mad. Some of y'all called me mad. Not at me, but about what's going on. Is there power in the Spirit to overcome fleshly things? I'm not saying that being mad was fleshly, but some of y'all, yes, it was. Do you understand? You can be mad and angry and sin not. Do you have a testimony of, man, I used to, if that happened a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, I would have lost it. But now, man, the Lord has done so much work in my life. Look, I mean, that sin doesn't really even bother me. I don't even get mad anymore when Beth leaves all the cabinet drawers open. I used to go, who opens a cabinet drawer and doesn't shut it? Oh, George does? Drew is going, George. Now I just expect the cabinet door is open. Beth opened them. Praise the Lord. She's still in my house. Amen. The other night I got up in the middle of the night and we have those accordion doors on our closet. Bifolds, is that what? And they're on my side of the bed. Well, when I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I was walking by it, boom, ran around. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Beth's still here in my home. When I would normally go, Beth! I'm just making light. But that's what I mean. A testimony of God's power growing in you. Growing in you. Of being a new person. Can you give testimony of that? Beth, I'm sorry, baby, for picking on you. She's laughing. She's gotten tickled about something. Number 5. Do you persevere in the faith? Listen, the surest sign, the absolute surest sign of salvation is perseverance of the saints. Because we're all sinners. We're all wicked. Every one of us. We're all wretches. You all fall. You all make mistakes. Does God grant you repentance? And do you repent and get back up and keep walking? The surest sign is of salvation is perseverance of the saints. All right, that's the first point. Now you only have six more. All right, so first passage of Scripture is in... Oh, did I give you the last... I didn't give you Scripture for abiding in the Spirit. 1 John 3:24. 1 John 4:13-14. And then the last point, perseverance in this of this in the faith. 1 John 5:4-5. Okay. The first point. Are you an expositorial or expositor listener? Are you an expository listener? All right. Do you listen? Do you hunger for this? Let me give you for the word. Let me give you the first passage is John chapter 10, verse 27. You know this verse? This is it. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, to be an expositor listener, you must be committed to discovering what Scripture says. What does this verse mean? How does this work out? What is this saying? You must be willing to dig. The Christian listener to sermons, to Scripture, to teachings, you must be driven to find out what is the meaning of this Scripture. What is the meaning of this passage? What is the meaning? What does God intend for this to mean? Are you driven? Is there a drive for you to find out or find the truth? Y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times. There's one right answer for every verse. One. There's not multiple answers. There's one. The question is, are you willing to find it? And dig it out. Are you willing? Have you said, God, what does this mean? Help me. Show me what this means. Do you think God is up there going, nope, I'm not going to show you what that verse means. When you pray and ask God, Lord, I don't really understand what this means. Can you help me find out what this means? Do you think that God will answer that prayer? Absolutely. Now, I'm going to tell you, do you know why a lot of people don't want to read their Bibles and find out what the meaning of these verses and passages are? Do you want to know why? They don't want to know the answer because they don't want to change. When we read things like, husbands, love your wife, as Jesus loved the church. Guys, do you really want to know what that means? Or is it better to go, I'd rather be ignorant of that. What does it mean to love your, what does it mean for me to love Beth as Jesus loved us? Do I need to say the second point that goes along with that? Some of y'all, okay. Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Now let me say this. I see how some of y'all submit to the Lord. No wonder you don't submit to your husband. Okay? All right. So being an expositor listener means you want to know what the Word says. You want to know verse by verse, principle by principle, precept upon precept. You want to know what God says. And if you have to change all the things around you, then start repenting. We want to hear, we want to know, we want to read, we want to study and find out those answers. When we listen to preaching and teaching of God's Word that's practical and how-to and advice and bolster and things that encourage your self-esteem, and I wrote this down here, that even political issues and political things that arouse and stir up, those things aren't bad. I don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater, but somebody who is a follower and an expositor listener, they want to know the Word. I'll tell you this for me, and I listen. Well, I won't say that. I love singing. I cannot wait till I get in heaven and I can actually carry a tune. I'm gonna be like, Lord, please put me in the choir. I just want to sing all the time. I do. I want to sing. I love singing. But I'll tell you this. This is no offense, Philip and all those who love music. It doesn't matter to me if we have one drop of music. I want to hear the Word. If I went to a church, which, listen, we've been to plenty of underground Chinese churches where they can't sing because they'll be arrested. And buddy, they sit there and they crack that Word and they get after it and pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm telling you, y'all should be in some of those worship services. And when they do sing it, it's one song and they whisper through it with all of them because they're afraid. Because if they really sing like they can, they'd bring the roof down. But the Word and praying, they don't skip that. Crave it. Do you love it? Do you want to hear it? It doesn't matter what part. It doesn't matter where it is. Do you want to hear it? When we listen to the preaching of the Word, we should be listening for the meaning of a passage of Scripture and accept that meaning, not now. Not from the person, but when we discover the meaning of this verse, we should take it and cultivate our lives in it. That's point number one. Five more points. You ready? A mark of a healthy church member, you should be a theologian. You should be a theologian. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, you know this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. It's a road to Emmaus. Verse 27. And beginning, this is when the two disciples were on the road after the crucifixion, and they were on the road to Emmaus, and they were distraught, and they were walking, and Jesus, which they didn't know was Jesus, came behind them and started talking to them. And this is what it says in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Could you imagine being there? And God, in flesh and blood, going through all of the scriptures and teachings and saying, well, this passage teaches about the Messiah, and this passage. Could you imagine being there? But you know what? You have to know the scripture to hear it. What if they didn't know Moses, which is the law and the prophets? That's what they're saying here. What if those two disciples didn't know the law and the prophet? What if they were ignorant of that? What Jesus would be saying to them, they would say, well, I don't, where is that in scripture? Are you a theologian? Do you know? Here, I want you to turn in that same chapter, verse 44. Let me see. Through 47, I think. Here, 44, it says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. So, do you have theological thoughts? Do you know what being a theologian? Do you know what theology actually means? The study of God. Let me tell you what J.I. Packer says in Knowing God. He says, ignorance both of His ways and of the practice of communion with Him lies at the root of the church's weakness today. Ignorance of His ways, which if you don't know Scripture, you won't know His ways, and of the practice of communing with Him, being with, lies at the root of the church's weakness today. Basically, what he's saying is that the reason the church in America is so weak, you want to know why? The church doesn't know their God. Members of the Christian church continue to think small thoughts of God and great thoughts of man. That's true. Pastors today will take a passage of scripture and they'll read it and they'll say, that's good, but let me give you a better answer than this. How crazy is that? We think highly of ourselves. We puff ourselves up. We lift up human ingenuity, human strength and power, and we make God smaller. Do you know what needs to happen? But you've got to have good theology to be able to do this. Do you know what needs to happen? We need to be smaller. God needs to be greater. We need, as the scripture says, decrease. And God needs to increase. But it needs to be like way over. We need to think, I am a wretch. In every situation, in every circumstance, in everything in life, if you start out saying, I'm a wretch, You might wind up getting to the right, to the position that God wants you. The first great calling, the greatest calling in your Christian life is to know God, to know Him, to know who He is, to know Him. Can I just give, I don't know why I haven't challenged all of us, but everybody at New Hope Baptist Church, and as a matter of fact, I'm willing to do whatever we need to do to make this happen. Everybody here at New Hope, y'all need to have every family, every person, you need to have at least one set of good commentaries. Everybody. And I mean a good set. So don't buy a set without conversing with me. Because there's a lot of stuff out there I don't want you reading. But a good set that goes verse by verse. You know why? So when you get to a verse that you're stuck on, you can go, oh, I've got a commentary set. I can go pull this out. And it will help me find the answer to this. Be a theologian. Study. Show yourself approved. I don't want you to show hands here, but I'm telling you, please come. I'm begging you, come talk to me. But everybody, every family at New Hope needs to have a Bible, which I'm sure everybody does. And number two, a good set of commentaries. Now, I want a book in front of me. Some of y'all have eSword and all that stuff, and y'all are computer people. I'm not. I want a book that I can write in, highlight, write on, scribble on, a good set of commentary. There was a friend of Carrie's, a friend of his parents were going through a hard time and struggling, and Carrie asked them, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Well, we found out what their favorite book of the Bible was, and I went out and bought them a commentary on their favorite book of the Bible and gave it to them. And they were like, now, and these are believers, but they were like, What is this? I had to show them what a commentary was. And they sat there and they were like, you mean you can buy a book like this for every book in the Bible? Yes. You would be surprised how many people sit in churches today and they don't even know that they can study every verse in the Bible themselves. Y'all knew that, right? Everybody here knew that. Okay. Be a theologian. Every Christian is meant to be a theologian, whatever capacity they have. It doesn't matter. You can sit there and say, I don't like to read. I don't like school. It doesn't matter. Know who your God is. Number three. Be gospel saturated. Now, next week, I'm going to just give you a heads up. We're going to talk about what the gospel truly is and what it's not. Because there's, for some reason, because they don't know who their God is. In the American church, there's great confusion over what the gospel is. And when the apostles talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? So, that's next week's sermon. But I want to show you, if you turn to Galatians, and I want to tell you how important this is. You're going to see this is about being a theologian. Galatians chapter 1. Gospel saturated. We need to know the gospel. more and better than we know our favorite sports teams. Hello? We need to know what the gospel is. Are you ready, grandmas? Better than we know our grandchildren. We need to know what the gospel is more than we know about hunting and fishing. I'll even say this. We need to know what the gospel is. It needs to be imprinted on us, branded on us, more than we need to know what our own job is. Are you gospel saturated? Is every thought that you have, does it come down to the gospel of Jesus Christ? How, what you say, what you do at work, how you do, how you run your home, how you, talk with your friends, how you, talk in church, how you, is your whole life, how you go to the grocery store, is it gospel saturated? I'm going to give you four, we're going to talk about this all next Sunday, but four main points of the gospel, okay? God is holy, and He is angry that His holiness is just treaded on, and He will punish every sin. He's holy and righteous. And He is angry at wickedness. Number two, every person without exception is terminal because of the sin in their lives. Number three, God, through His Son Jesus, died as a substitute for His people. And number four, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given His people, the church, the only saving message to the world. Nobody else has the message. Nobody. Not Walmart, not Amazon, not the Chinese, not Washington, D.C., not anybody. His people, the church, has the only message. Think about that, guys. That's why I wonder, what are we doing when we're pumping gas? Have you ever thought about the guy or the person on the other side of the pump? You and I, as believers, think about this. We have the only message of salvation. Are you feeling the responsibility? That's why I think about our grandchildren, the children in our home, our family. Why aren't we taking the gospel to them? Because they're going to get mad at us? I'm not telling y'all to be like me, but my family stays mad at me. When we go to Thanksgiving, nobody wants to sit at Brandon Griffin's table. That's just the truth. It's like parting the Red Sea. I sit down, because I'm going to ask them, what happened in your life this year? What's going on? I'm going to start asking them questions, because you start asking enough questions like that, You'll get the gospel in every time. And they're like, don't sit with Brandon if you want to enjoy your food. Are you gospel saturated? Your aim should be knowing and understanding the gospel so deeply so intimately that it just oozes out of your pores. I don't know what number we're on. So, four? Okay. So, four. Are you disciplined? You want to be a good church member? Be disciplined in your faith. Listen to me. Get up out of bed. Read. Pray. It's hard. 2 Timothy. Let me just give you this verse. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That takes discipline to be like that. Here, I'm gonna read you. Go back to the beginning of chapter 2. You therefore, this is verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. How are you strong at something? How is it possible to be strong? Is it just natural and it just happens? Hey girl. Boy, that's precious, isn't it? Hey. You have to work at it to build strength, to build endurance. Be strong in this grace. Verse 2. In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So what you know, you be strong in, and you give it to men that are also going to be strong and carry it out. What does it mean to give this message? I've often wondered, to those who aren't going to be faithful. Verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I wish Sonny was here today so I could say, what does it take to be a good soldier? I doubt you would ever find a good soldier that lacks discipline. Right? Am I wrong? Jim, am I wrong? To be a good soldier takes discipline. This whole thing is about it. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in these things. You want to be a good church member? Have spiritual discipline in your life. Listen to me. There's no other way to say it. There's no other way to crack it. If you want to know Scripture, if you want to know your God, if you want to know answers, you've got to spend time in the Word. You've got to spend time on your knees, on your face, praying. And that takes work. It just does. It flat does. There's no way around it. So you can groan and moan in the morning, but get up and get after it. I can share some other stuff, but we're going to go on. Point number five, I guess. I'm on because we need to wrap things up. Okay. Point number five. Are you growing in Christ? John chapter 15. I need to wrap it up quickly. John 15. Verse 5-8. Did I give y'all? I didn't give you being gospel saturated, did I? I gave you the verse? Okay, Galatians chapter 1. And that's such a good passage. Galatians chapter 1. You can do verse 8 and 9, but it's really 7, 8, 9, all of those. And that's the passage where Paul says to them, who's bewitched you? How did you fall away? And he says, listen, even if I myself or an angel comes and preaches a different gospel, don't listen to it. But you got to know. Okay, I'm really hurrying now. Okay, growing in Christ. Verse chapter 15, verse 5 through 8. Here it goes. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciple. Are you growing? Two things. It's impossible to separate the health of a local church from the health of its members. Your spiritual health is going to decide how healthy our church as a whole. Number two, it is impossible to separate the health of a member from their spiritual growth. You want to be a healthy member of the body of Christ? Grow spiritually. Grow spiritually. Last point. Last point, baby, and then we'll go. Hold on. She's telling me it's time. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 1 and 2. Last point. Be a prayer warrior. Pray. It says this in verse 1 and 2. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide your face from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am relentless in my complaint and moan noisily. Cry out to God constantly. Cry out to Him. Okay. Here goes real quickly. Real prayer produces a holiness of heart. Psalm 15. Real prayer seeks God's heart. Jeremiah 29:12-14. Real prayer pursues God relentlessly. First John 5:14-15. And last, real prayer accomplishes much. James 5:16. Y'all come get these. I hope it helps you. After you're done, we're going to put them in the foyer. Use them. Read them. Go through it. We're going to just take assessment. We're going to be examining our spiritual lives for the rest of this month. We want to help. We want to give you tools to help you grow, but you have to be honest with yourself. You have to learn to sit down with yourself and God and go through your life. If you don't learn how to examine yourself honestly, you're not fooling God. You might be fooling yourself. But if you can't go through your and examine your life spiritually and be honest with yourself, you're going to greatly hinder your spiritual walk. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for the food here so we can go on. And we, the senior adults, y'all start and make your plate and you go first. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go through these elements and these things and questions and sermons, and as we listen, that we will sit down with you honestly and take a good evaluation, that we will do as the Apostle Paul calls us to in 2 Corinthians 13:5, that we will take inventory before you. It's the new year. You are God. We are your people. Help us to grow in our faith. Thank you for this time, Lord. As we go into a fellowship, a dinner, Lord, as we join together and eat, Lord, it should remind us and give us hope of what you tell us in Scripture, that one day we will all be around the banquet table. Nobody will be missing from the family. Lord, we will all gather around and we will feast, and you, God, our Father, will be at the head and our brother at your right hand. We will all join together for eternity. This is what it should invoke, those images in our lives. So Lord, thank you for the bountiful food that we're about to receive. Thank you for the fellowship that we're about to enjoy. May it be honoring and glorifying to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.